Hello, it's wonderful to be here. Welcome to you all, and welcome especially. I think you guys are maybe visiting us today. I've seen some different faces in the crowd, so welcome. I hope you're having a wonderful time on Sky. Yes. And here I am back in Sky, the place where I grew up. I grew up in Staffan from 0 to about 6, and then moved to Portree. The bright lights of Portree, it was like a city to me at the time. And lived here till I was 19, and I've been away studying at Stirling University and working in Glasgow. And God has brought me all the way back here, back even to Staffan. I'm living in a wee house now, a few houses down to the first place I ever lived, where my earliest memories come from. And it has been so wonderful this week. You know, something happened this week which has never happened in my life, for me anyway. I saw a rainbow the day, I've seen a rainbow, bear with me. I saw a rainbow my first morning I woke up here in Portree. And for 7 days in a row, I've seen a rainbow every single day. And that's never happened to me before. And I've just had a whole week of God reminding me that He is a promise keeper. And I've been so blessed looking back and seeing His hand in my life, His hand in the lives of the people in this church, His hand in the lives of people in our community and in our island, His hand in the lives of my parents, and I've just been reminded over and over again, 7 times, that He is a promise keeper. Now, Neil gave us a wee head start earlier on with his talk about covenant. And today, I'd like to talk a bit about that word, because that word is very important. The better we understand and apply our understanding of that word, the closer our walk with God will be. Now, there are 3 mistakes that we can make in terms of understanding covenant and applying it. And for the record, I've made every single one of these 3 mistakes. So, don't feel bad. Now, the first one, we're going to find in Acts chapter 8. And we're going to find it in verse 18 to 20. And this is Simon the sorcerer. So we'll know the story well, because we remember that. A sorcerer stands out. We'll remember that one. And we're going to read about the mistake that Simon makes. So, verse 18 says, "When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. And he said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you.' Why? Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." There are 2 types of covenant, and it's very important we understand which. There's a unilateral covenant, and that's generally what we just call a covenant, and there's a bilateral covenant, and that's what we call a contract. Now, they're similar in a couple of ways. 2 parties coming together, agreeing on some conditions, and aiming for a better future reality, maybe a promise being kept, or they're aiming for something. So they have that, similar to one another. Now, we live in a life full of contracts. Our lives are full of contracts. It's for a car or for some work being done. And so it's a big part of our thinking. Say I want a shed to be built. The joiner has something that I want. He's in a place of power because he has the skill and the materials to make that happen. And I have something that he wants. I'm in a place of power because I've got the money. And so we agree in some conditions, and we agree on the basis of conditions that each of us will uphold our promise to the other. Now, that is a contract. A covenant is a bit different. In a covenant, 1 party sets the terms and conditions, and the other chooses whether or not to accept them. You're more likely to see this kind of covenant in a relationship perhaps between a parent and a child. A child might really want to go to the park. And so the mother, let's say a mother and a daughter, the mother says to the daughter, I will take you to the park, there's the promise, on the condition you put your jacket on and your shoes on. Those conditions are not up for debate. You either agree to them and we go, or you accept them and we don't go. Now, God does not make contracts. God makes covenants. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's all His. He has all the power. And He comes to us because He wants a relationship with us, and He offers us a covenant. Sometimes we can start to let that contract mindset slip into our walk with God. This is the mistake that Simon was making. Simon the sorcerer. He thought, oh, I have something to offer. I've got some money. If I give you this money, here's the promise, then you will give me that Holy Spirit that you've all got. No, no, no. That's not how it works. Jacob does it in the Old Testament. Jacob at one point says, Lord, if you will go with me, I will tithe 1/10 of my possessions. And I'm going to be honest and said, I've done that in times in my life. It's the, if you, then I will conversation. God, if you get me that job, then I'll start tithing again. God, if you get me that car, I'll go and visit that person I should really have visited a long time ago. It's always pushing on the sides to come in. We must remember that God makes covenants and not contracts. So that's the first one. You with me so far? Is that making sense? Good stuff. So we're going to come to the second one. The second one we'll find in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And verse 16 to 22, and this is the story of the rich young ruler. And I'm just going to read it out from verse 19 to verse 16 to verse 22. Now, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? What condition must I fulfill to get that promise? Jesus said, Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Enter life, the promise, commandments, the condition. Which ones? The man inquired. And Jesus gives him six, not 10, he gives him six. He gives him the six that he's been doing. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as yourself. And the rich young ruler says, Yes, all of these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. He hits them with this big condition, but gives them a promise in response to it, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, I guess the answer to his question at the start, how do I get eternal life? Come, follow me. That's the condition. You follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Now, Jesus loved this man. He wanted him to follow him. And the rich young ruler, he'd done the right thing so far. He'd come to the right person. He wanted eternal life, and he'd come to the right place to find it. He was talking to Jesus. And you know, there was a time when I read this I felt, oh, Jesus, that seems a bit unfair. You've given him the one thing that stopped him from following you. And I've read that and I thought, You've just put an obstacle right in front of him, and he wanted to follow, but you put that an obstacle that he can't get over. That's a mistake. That's a mistake, and we're going to read why. If you jump back, in fact, I can just do this from the top of my head. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is where we understand why Jesus gave this condition specifically for this young man. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So when Jesus told the rich young ruler to follow me, to store up treasure in heaven, to reach eternal life, "I want you to sell all that you have," he wasn't putting an obstacle in front of him. He was showing him how. His conditions are not obstacles, they're a map. They're a map to show us how. He wanted eternal life, and he was showing them, this is how it is for you. This is how you can reach that place. And so often, we can look at the conditions, and we can look at the conditions that God sets before us, and we think, "Oh, that seems like a bit of a burden." It's not meant to be a burden, it's a blessing. Because it's by those conditions that it takes us to that promise, to that promised land. You know, we're going to read in these covenants of all these conditions that God sets. They're not just arbitrary things for them to do. "Oh, if you do that, then I'll make that happen." No, by doing that, this will be the outcome. Wonderful. God's conditions are not obstacles. They're a map to the promised land. Now, we've seen the connection there between the rich young ruler and the condition. We see the correlation between what God was telling him the condition was and the outcome it would lead to. We don't always see the correlation. We don't always understand, how can this lead to this? And you know, God wants it that way. Sometimes he wants it that way because he wants to test our faith. He wants to grow our faith. He wants us to follow him on the basis of not on what we see and what we understand, but on the basis of who we know him to be. On the basis of who he has always been. Faithful. I'd like to come to Luke chapter 5. And this is verse 4 to 6. And this is when Jesus calls Simon Peter. Verse 4 reads, "When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything.'" Stop there for a moment. We've worked hard and we haven't caught anything. And you're telling us to go out and put the nets down. He didn't see the correlation between this condition Jesus was giving him and a good outcome. He didn't see it. And there's times where we don't see it, and there's been times in my life where I've not seen it, and because I haven't seen it, I've decided not to do it. But is it in those times when we don't see, we must remember who is asking us. When we don't see how, we must remember who. And Simon gets this part right. He gets it. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, because it's you who's asking, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's faith. last weekend, last Saturday, I was in Edinburgh before coming up here, and I was speaking to a Welsh pastor, and I was asking him about his family. He was telling me he had children, and then he began to tell me about his children. He had two daughters and a son. And he began to tell me this story, and it was heart-wrenching, but it was touching, and it was inspiring. And he told me of how him and his wife, when they so wanted a child, this was before they had the first child, they so wanted a child, but when it came time, when they finally, the wife, she was pregnant, and they were so excited, and it came time for the birth and the labour, and it was a miscarriage. And then she had a second miscarriage. And then she had a third miscarriage. And they were just brokenhearted, and they're crying, and they're saying, God, we so want a child. Well, they had a daughter. The next child, they had a daughter. They named her Hannah. You can see why. They had another daughter. Unfortunately, there was more miscarriages, and it came. And then one day, God said to this Welsh pastor, I'm going to give you a son, and I want you to call him Daniel. And the Welsh pastor is telling me the story. He said, God told me this, and I wasn't really sure, so I didn't say it to my wife, but I just wrote it down in my diary, for to have a son, to call him Daniel. Well, the wife became pregnant again, and came the time for the labour, and they're in the labour room, and she doesn't know this word that he's kind of holding on to. And in the labour, she starts bleeding. And they think, oh no, we've had 7 miscarriages, here's another one. And the lady, she says something. In the light of this, she says this. She says, Lord, you give and you take away, but blessed be your name. And the pastor is telling me, there's tears in his eyes, he says, my wife is so courageous. And then here comes a little baby boy, a son, and they call him Daniel. And there's something so special in what those words that lady said and the timing of when she said it. Because she understood, God sets the terms, he gives and he takes away. And I might not see why or how, but I'm going to bless him anyway. And she did. And you know, God's faithful. He promised that man a son. And he delivered. And every time we see a rainbow, we're reminded that God is somebody who keeps his promises. He keeps them. He didn't just keep his promise to Noah. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here. But he continues to keep his promises. Faithful one, so unchanging. And when we hold on to that, our covenant with him will be strong. We'll be a people of promise. A people who live in the promises of God. A people who live for the promises of God. He sets the terms. The conditions he gives us are the map to the promised land. And he is faithful to deliver. Amen.